Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Come and let the members of Congress know that all of the messages that came out in August...
The president campaigned repeatedly up there. Joe Biden went up there repeatedly.
Mr. President, the New York Times is looking at you, at your dual role as investor and advocate.
Well, I think it's a very good night tonight for the party here in Virginia, and certainly...
Where's my retarded baby?
Burn in hell.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show. This is the groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, every night here until 1 o'clock at the El Pacifico at 4 a.m. on the East Coast. As we go through the looking glass like Alice in Wonderland of talk radio and reality in general. Joining me this hour will be Harvey Wireman. He's an attorney at law, retired. He's a former attorney for the ACLU. He's a retired United States Marine. And by that, I mean he's a World War II veteran. He's going to be talking with us, though, not about any of that, actually. Well, he'll be talking in his capacity as an attorney. We're going to be discussing tasers, the use of tasers by cops, particularly the use of tasers by cops against the elderly, although we have two taser stories recently, one in Minneapolis, the tasing of an 18-year-old, and another story in Alaska, the tasing of an 81-year-old man. And when was this? This was last week, a traffic stop in Fairbanks, Alaska, last week. Let me tell you first, though, that you can contact us here on the show tonight at 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And you can watch live streaming video of our show every night on our website, philhenryshow.com, as well as listen to the live streaming audio if you're not near any one of our affiliates. And the video is on demand the next day, so you can watch it the next day if you'd like. You can also download the audio to our show the next day. And we have all kinds of archives over there. We've got a list of great affiliates, so it's a great place to go, philhenryshow.com. And we're also at twitter.com/PhilHendryShow. The stories here, and there was the story, of course, that we got into a very interesting discussion on the show, I thought, a few weeks ago about the 72-year-old lady who was tasered in... Texas, which was, you know, unfortunate, but nonetheless it happened, and that was the extent of that. Let me get Harvey Wireman on the line here from San Marino, California. Harvey, a retired attorney, and Harvey, good to speak with you this evening.
Well, I'm very grateful that you had me on this topic, Phil. Thank you.
And Harvey, you've worked both sides of the street. You were a DA at one time and a defense attorney, correct?
Well, a long time ago, I worked for the district attorney's office in Chicago before I came to California. Now I'm retired now, but I do consulting and I do some pro bono work.
And you were in the Marines?
Yes, I was. I was a born killer.
Okay.
As they say.
All right. So you've done it all, and I wanted to talk to you about this tasering. First of all, let's talk about this one story here in Minneapolis, Minnesota. This is a man, an 18-year-old man, backed by video footage. A Minneapolis man is now claiming that police used a taser against him after he surrendered and put his hands on the hood of a squad car. And his name is Rolando Demetrio Ruiz. He's filed a notice of claim alleging civil rights and other violations in the April 30th incident. Here is a dash cam audio of that tasing. Wow, that's brutal to hear, isn't it?
Well, it's not a pleasant thing to have done to you, but that's unfortunately the byproduct of the use of those things.
And now we have last week an 81-year-old, we don't have audio on this, and maybe I'm grateful for that, an 81-year-old man was tasered during a traffic stop last week. It's the second time since 1998 that police have had to make a show of force during a traffic stop to arrest Glenn M. Wilcox, a Fairbanks-based Episcopalian priest and real estate agent. Court documents allege that officers with Ellison Air Force Base, these were Air Force police, military police for the Air Force, the 354th Security Forces Squadron pulled Wilcox over just after 1 p.m. Wednesday for going 11 miles over the speed limit on the Richardson Highway, and they used the taser. And then there's the story of this lady in Texas, and we'll run this one more time for people who may not know what we're talking about. This woman in Texas who was tased back in the spring when she refused to meet the demands of this police officer.
Yeah, put your hands on your back. Put your hands behind your back.
Fine, baby, I'm ready.
I'm
I'm getting back in my car.
You're going to be saved. Stop.
I'm getting back in my car.
No, ma'am. Jason, get on the ground. Get on the ground. Now put your hands on your back. Put your hands on your back. You're going to be tased again.
Help!
317, I've got one tase. Put your hands behind your back. Put your hands behind your back. Get your hands behind your back.
So that I guess we pretty much the extent of that, Harvey. So those are just three distinct taser cases, and I know you've worked a couple of them, and I wanted to get your feelings on this, because this is, in the case of this 18-year-old in Minneapolis, he wants to bring a claim against the police, and this woman in Texas also sued, although I don't think she collected quite as much as she thought she would. What is your feeling on the, on particularly the elderly, and this 81-year-old man, this 72-year-old man, the use of this kind of force against those people?
Well, yeah, I'm glad, first of all, Phil, that you differentiated between the young man in Minneapolis and the case of that young man. I think the police have an awful lot to answer for. Here's a young man. He's, if I got you right, he's Hispanic, correct?
The name does seem to indicate that, yeah.
All right. He's a man of color. He's a minority, and the police in some cities, and I'd have to look into Minneapolis, but I'm pretty sure in Minneapolis they've got a spotty record at best dealing with the people of color, particularly native people in that part of the country. And so I think the Minneapolis police is going to have some explaining to do. Now, let's move on to the other two cases, particularly the lady in Texas and this man in Fairbanks, Alaska. I know, as an attorney, and I don't think a lot of your listeners would disagree, that people reach a certain age in our society, and there is no real expectation on the part of that individual, nor is there any expectation on the part of the prosecutor, that they're going to be doing any real jail time for any offense that they've committed. More often than not, the elderly in our society will commit some kind of a felony, and that is to say a serious crime, and are generally given a probation, a house arrest, or some other consideration based upon their age. I don't think it's right, personally. I think that every human being in our society, if they are found guilty, should definitely be the recipient of what the law demands. When I hear that woman being tased, I know what she's thinking. I know what all of the senior citizens in our country think. Well, I'm not really going to go to jail. I'm not really going to get a ticket because they're going to feel sorry for me because I'm old. And it is in that instant when I think the police officer, the arresting officer, should have some latitude in terms of how he deals with her, because he knows, you know, I know, all of your listeners know, she's never going to see any real jail time. And the latitude there that I think the arresting officer was correct in seizing was to, you know, give her a taste of the trouble that she put him through and the trouble she's going to put the courts through.
Well, are you saying that it was all right for him to tase her?
First of all, I listened to that tape very carefully. It's very questionable whether she was really suffering or whether she was play-acting for the benefit of the tape recorder, because everybody knows that the police have these recording devices. Very, very suspicious that old woman was in any pain at all. Secondly, if she was in pain, I don't see anything wrong with a police officer knowing that they're going to give her a slap on the wrist and let her go home with her daughter or whoever it is she lives with. And meanwhile, the rest of us in society have got to, if you'll pardon my French, have got to suck on it. At that moment, I think that officer made the right decision, knowing she was going to get up.
Well, wait. Well, Harvey, if you don't mind me interrupting.
Go ahead.
That's not his job to dish out punishment. He's an arresting officer.
No, I know it's not his job. What I'm saying is, I think it's perfectly understandable that if this old lady or some old man who knows that they're not going to go to jail for anything if a police officer lets the taser go on him, and as they say in the police business, and they ride the lightning, or they do the electric slide, or however you want to put it, or take a walk down to Electric Avenue, you know,
Billy Ocean?
Yeah, the Billy Ocean song.
Billy Ocean.
Billy Ocean. Let's go down to Electric Avenue. Well, that's what a police officer says when he decides that he's had enough of some old woman who is going to walk scot-free.
Yeah, but you haven't answered my question. My question is, that is not his job. His job as a police officer is to write the citation, but not to dole out punishment.
No, that's not necessarily true. You can, as a police officer, be given the latitude that the old woman has given you enough guff, and you know that you've wasted all kinds of paperwork, and you're going to give her a taste of what she's been giving you. What he gave her is no worse than what she was giving him. No worse at all. In fact, he probably had it worse.
Well, come on. She was talking rude to him. She was not following orders.
Yeah, she was not following what the officer was directing her to do. And at that moment, there is in the law books, there's something called enforcement rage.
No, wait. You're going to...
Hold on for a minute. Who's the... Are you the lawyer?
No, I'm not the lawyer.
Well, let me talk. When you push a cop so far, and just the mere existence of an old lady getting out of a car in a traffic stop, that already has pushed that officer to the limit.
Why?
Because when he sees the old woman, he knows she will not have to do any punishment at all. So that already provokes our police officers beyond what anything they should be allowed to be provoked to. So the provocation is on the part of that old woman looking at him, and he has to realize that she's not going to be punished. The hand goes to the taser, and she is basically giving him carte blanche to issue summary punishment because she opened her mouth. You know, you don't understand what I'm saying.
No, I understand what you're saying. So the existence of an elderly person in a traffic stop is already provoking the officer.
Yes.
Why?
I just got done telling you because of the fact...
Because he knows that they're not going to be punished because they're old.
Yes. You remember the guy in Santa Monica, the old man that killed 8 people at the farmer's market because his foot stuck to the throttle? You remember that?
Yes, I do.
Okay, what do you think? They slapped him on the wrist and they sent him home with his daughter or something. 8 people dead, and he goes home to have to sit in an Easy Boy and watch bowling. Well, the same thing is true of that old woman, and when that officer took a look at what was waiting for him in that car, he knew that there was no judge that was going to give him any peace. He had to do it himself, then.
All right, we're going to come back and discuss this a little bit more. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Harvey Wireman, an attorney at law, about the tasering incidents. What's this, bud?
You see this?
Harvey wrote it, bottom line, police officers should taser the elderly, and I think your listeners would agree that it's a policy that every station in the country should put into place. Really? All right. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back with more from Harvey Wireman and these taserings going on around the country by police officers of the elderly. Most recently, last week, an 81-year-old man in Fairbanks, Alaska. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
With Harvey Wireman, attorney at law, as we talk about the police tasering of a couple of elderly people. You know the one, the 72-year-old woman in Texas. Last week in Fairbanks, Alaska, police officers with the Air Force police, military police attached to the Air Force at Eielson Air Base, part of the 354 security forces, pulled over a car, I guess, that was either on Air Force property or was within their jurisdiction somehow and tasered an 81-year-old man. And I want to get back to you, Harvey, with your comments, and then we have phone calls to take. I want to know the legal justification for a police officer tasering someone who simply because they're elderly.
They're not tasering them because they're elderly. They're not doing that.
Well, that's, you said as soon as he looks and sees an elderly person.
When a police officer sees... Let me explain something to you. When a police officer sees an old lady sitting in a car, he's already on guard, because if she gives him any lip, he knows he's going to have to arrest her, otherwise cite her, and she's not going to get punished. Why? Because she's old, and they don't send old people to jail. So he has been put in an untenably provocative situation by the system. And the police officers that I've defended, and keep in mind, I work for the ACLU, so I'm not what you'd call a conservative, but I do believe, and let me tell you something. I said to the judge, you put a police officer in a situation of looking at some old lady, that taser's halfway out of its holster.
Why? Because she's old?
I just told you, because the woman, by virtue of the fact that that old lady is sitting there staring at him, it's already pushing him. He knows that she's not going to get... And when you put a police officer in that situation, you better expect that you're taking a stroll down to Electric Avenue. And whether it's Billy Olson or Billy Ocean or Mary Kay or Olson or however you say it, that's where you're going.
So you can defend a police officer in front of a judge...
I have.
You have?
Yes, I have.
By saying... That officer is already provoked because it's an old person and they're not going to go to jail.
That's right. And the police officer is already going to be thinking, well, then you want to know something? I think maybe we'll get a little bit of street justice going here.
Well, yeah, my hat's off to you if what you say is true.
What do you mean what I say is true?
Well, the fact that you were able to sell that to a jury or to a judge. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call. Roy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Harvey Wireman this evening. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, I just wanted to comment on the tasering of the old woman. Our officers are trained to defuse situations with as less force as possible. It's totally off base to say that the officer had a right to tase the woman just because she was being belligerent, given the fact she did exit her vehicle and approach the officer. She is an elderly woman. The officer is probably half her age. Physically stronger than her by far, and could have defused the situation either verbally or escorted the woman back to her vehicle by her arm and explained to her that she was overstepping her bounds to just tase her. And for this gentleman lawyer say that he thinks it's okay for the officer to do such a thing or to be within his rights to already be on his guard and ready to tase an elderly person just because he believes they're not going to get any punishment is way off base.
Well, you know something, what you didn't know about this case is that as soon as she got out of her car, sir, and I forget what's this man's name.
His name is Roy.
Roy, as soon as she got out of the car, her mouth was already going. So in other words, what she had in her mind was, I'm old, there's nothing he can do, and on top of that, I think I'll just keep gum flapping and really piss him off. That officer was provoked,
and I don't know if you're a police officer,
he had no choice but to say, I got to get some street justice going on this old bag, excuse my language, because I know the judge is going to kiss her on both cheeks and pat her on the rear end and send her home with her son-in-law or whatever, whoever she's talked into letting her live with them, and that officer already knows that he's got no shot at seeing her, you know, sweated. So
what do you mean sweated, man? What are you going to sweat an old lady?
They're not putting her in jail. You know that as well as I do, and she knows it. That's why her mouth is going.
First off, she didn't get out of her car, I'm absolutely positive, thinking that, I'm not going to go to jail, so I'm going to let this guy have some crap.
You're absolutely positive?
Sir,
I'm 79 years old. I'm 79 years old.
For you to think that you can read this woman's mind and feed that to somebody and have them believe it.
These old people are getting away with murder.
You have a law degree.
Murder.
Just just because you have away a with murder doesn't mean you can read people's minds and say.
But I do know about motivation.
You have no idea what this woman was thinking, and you're way out of line.
I can assure you. I can assure you, sir, that old lady was thinking, look at this. I got this dumb, stupid cop right where I want him.
Oh, brother. All right, thank you, sir, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back with more of your phone calls and Harvey Weierman.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Harvey, what is this?
Yeah, this is the song I got
Bud Dickman?
Yeah, but this is a song called Electric Avenue. Now, this is a song, this is what the cops call tasing some old woman, you know. Yeah, you hear that?
I know this song, yeah. What has this got to do with tasing?
It's called Electric Avenue. And that's where you, that's what they call. But listen to this. See, right here. Look at this. Right here. Right down to Electric Avenue. You see that?
Is this a song that police listen to?
Yeah, they listen to this. This is the language that cops talk. And when I hear this song, I can see, and I don't mean to be, I'm not trying to be, morbid, but I can see the old woman writhing on the asphalt because she wouldn't shut up.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, that's, I'm telling you the truth. Yeah, there you go. So in other words, if you're an elderly woman and you thought you were going to give a cop lip and then take your groceries home and tell everybody how great you were, guess what? Oh, no. Yeah, oh, no.
Oh, no. I don't know if that's a song the police listen to.
A lot of cops have it in the radio car, yeah.
Well, I think that's sadistic. If I was the watch commander or whoever the guy is, I wouldn't have them listening to that in their cars.
Well, I guess you're not the watch commander now, are you? So I guess that's something you don't get to, you know, you don't get to talk about. But I can tell you that this is what our police officers are up against. When an old woman thinks that she's above the law and is going to provoke a cop to the point where he has no choice but to drop her.
877-876-PHIL. I would think that our police would have far more control and not take things quite so personally. Let's go over to Gus on the Phil Hendry Show. Gus, you're on with Harvey Weierman. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Well, good evening, sir. My comments...
Yes, good evening.
Good evening.
Yes. My comments is this. First of all, they're supposed to protect the individual and let justice handle the matters. Nobody's supposed to take justice in their own hands. And secondly, we have a far better police force than what he is describing there. This gentleman there.
My name is Harvey Weierman, sir, and I'm an attorney, and I know our police are good, but let me ask you this. Who protects our police? When they see an old woman who is going to get away with cold-blooded murder, and they know that no one is going to... You're saying that they don't have the right to at least watch her dance a little bit.
Since you
given what they're
cold-blooded murder, she didn't do anything.
Yeah.
She just had an alligator mouth and a mosquito body. That's what she did.
You know what I'm talking about.
No, I
don't
know
what
she's talking about. No, I don't.
She could have shot that police officer, and they still wouldn't have given her jail because she's old.
She didn't.
Well.
Yeah, and she's not.
And how does she know that he wasn't going to...
Can we turn that off, please?
How do
Go ahead,
you
sir,
know
I'm sorry.
If she wasn't on some kind of medication? How do you know if something else was wrong? How do you know you weren't there? And
that's a good point.
The officer didn't handle the situation. He just let it get out of control.
I thought he contained his temper. I thought he controlled his temper much better than
no
I thought he would.
There was no You can't lose your temper over somebody having a big mouth. Can you imagine
the old lady,
would be? How many people have a big mouth? A lot
if,
of people
if somebody
agree
said
with
to you,
they don't agree with you, they're not going to haze you, are they?
If someone said to you, go ahead and hit me with that baseball bat, you know sooner or later you're going to do that. That's what that old lady did.
How did she do that?
She did it by being pulled over and giving him lip. That's how she did it. You might as well have hit him with a bat.
Why? Because she's an old person?
Yes, because she's not going to go to jail. And that officer is now facing the... Are you talking to somebody else?
All
right.
No, I'm talking to you. First of all,
if
a citizen would take the charges to the grand jury and would get the prosecutor to follow through or get the federal prosecutor to follow through, if that had happened here, I would have done that. I would have gone down there and spoke out and said, that officer needs to be
put in line. I agree with Gus. I agree with Gus. You're not making any sense. Because could you turn that song off?
Why can't he play Electric Avenue? Because that's what the cops are up against.
I don't want to hear it because I can't think. The fact is that what Gus is saying is true. How can you justify a cop? The police officers are not trained to punish. The police officers...
I'm not saying what he did was right. I'm saying that there were extenuating circumstances that forgive him for what he's doing.
The individual that committed the crime... Why don't you think like that guy that they caught with the bodies in his yard or something?
Oh, that guy.
How come somebody don't want to shoot him? Because they're going to have to protect him. Well, you're using that lady.
No. You know that guy's going to go to prison. No, you know that guy's going to go to prison. You know that guy's going to ride the lightning. But I'm talking about an old lady. If they found 10 bodies in that lady's house, she would have walked. She would have walked, I guarantee.
Oh, no, I don't. See, I don't agree with that.
Oh, you're telling me I'm a lawyer.
Yeah, I'm telling you. An old lady, they find 10. What about that old bag? You remember the old lady up in Sacramento? They found 10 bodies in her yard. Where's she?
Oh, she's cooling that over the minimum security.
You keep saying you're a lawyer. You keep saying you're a lawyer. You must have been a traffic ticket lawyer because you probably lost every case in every traffic ticket you had.
There's no such thing as a traffic ticket lawyer. You just go. You don't. There's no such thing. You just go in and pay your ticket.
Jeez. Okay.
All right. Thanks, sir. Thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. We're going to go to James here in Mississippi. James, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
Very good, sir.
That Electric Avenue, though, that's a hell of a song.
Good. Yes, sir.
The attorney that you have on.
Actually, I've got, yes, James, right.
Does he have a mother that's alive?
I'm 79 years old. Three guesses. The first two don't count.
Answer the man's question respectfully.
No, sir. My mother died in 1958.
Okay. Now, I have a mother that's 92 years old. I'm not going to get into an argument with you. We're going to go over this thing easy. I'm 62. She's 30 years older than I. No.
Well, I'm 79, so
You got me a couple.
You ever heard the song Electric Avenue?
Will you turn that off, please?
Mr. Wireman wanted me to play.
Turn it off, please. Thank you.
What I'm trying to say is...
that's a bad jam, though, isn't it?
I love
policemen, it. Policemen, officers, as you will call them, are supposed to have some type of training to distinguish angry person. Yes. Hold on.
Right.
An angry person
from a dangerous person. From a dangerous person.
Yeah, a dangerous person from someone that's not going to do bodily harm or physical harm to them.
That's just all right. The old lady was going to do physical harm to the system. She was going to walk after speeding or whatever it was.
Yeah, but
well,
the
that's
thing
not physical.
You know how many volts that taser gun has in it?
It's not going to hurt. You heard that old lady. She got up and started giving him lip. That's the part you didn't hear on the tape. She got down on the ground and started wailing, and then when she knew the tape was off, she got up and started calling him every name in the book.
You don't know that for a fact at all. You don't know that.
Attorney. That's been a couple of years ago.
Have you ever ridden the lightning? Have you ridden the lightning? No, you haven't.
I saw the tape. I saw the film. It was
but as a lawyer, I'm supposed to be tased.
For many
they have
days.
To tase me.
If they tase like you, if they tase you, if you got a bad heart problem, you might go into cardiac arrest.
That's what you they know, tell you. So you, that's if, what the old lady said, so that you'll, she can get your sympathy.
Yeah, but did she point a weapon? Did she point a weapon at that police officer?
Yes, yes. She opened her fat mouth, and as an elderly person, that's
a weapon.
Because what she, yes, it is. Because what she's doing is saying, ha ha, you can't send me to jail. And that is going to anger any police officer. That is justifiable. It's not justifiable, but it's a provocation. And he's all he can do is think of, all he can see is electricity in his mind. He can just see her bopping up and down off the asphalt, almost as if she's a, what do you call those deals? In a box, a top or something like that.
No, you, wait a minute now.
Well, you know,
you're an attorney, right?
You are a lawyer. And I think that this is a ridiculous. But I you made a very, very good point there, James. I got to move on here. 877-876 Phil. Let's go to Mike. Mike is in Queens, New York. Mike, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Harvey Wireman. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. How are
you? What happened to the other caller?
Apparently, doesn't appreciate that many times the police the average citizen like criminals before they even have proven that they're criminals. And what that translates into in New York City is that sometimes policemen act like thugs more than the thugs themselves, because what right do you have to treat an average citizen like a criminal and to tase them or use a taser gun on them?
Well, you do in certain instances to be when they're old.
Wait a minute. Let me.
When they're old,
they haven't been proven
when they're
to be
old,
a criminal, and you're treating
the old lady's going
to
walk.
There's no reason to
but
do that.
You're
you
saying, Harvey, you're saying an old lady
like he's a criminal. You must treat the citizens like they're regular citizens. You cannot be thuggish. You cannot be thuggish. Thuggery is wrong. Have a good day.
He just used a dirty word. You better dump that.
He didn't say thug. He said thuggery.
And then he hung up. I've never had anybody hang up a phone on me that I wasn't able to get to them and get to them right away with
dealing in multiplication.
Electric Avenue. And I can tell you...
Will you knock it off with that song, bud? Get out of here with that.
Mr. Wireman ordered it special.
I don't... He ordered it special.
I called in before the show, and I said to Dickman, have that song ready, because I got a feeling I'm going to need it. And I have needed it, because there's not one of these people listening to your program tonight, Mr. Hendry, that understands what I'm trying to say. Our police officers are being provoked beyond any reasonable constraint. When they see an elderly person in a car, they know that person, like your average mafioso, in the times before, you know, way back.
Yeah, I know. The mafia used to walk.
Well, guess who's walking now? Old ladies who can look at the cop and go, I'm not going to get in jail. And so what does our officer think? With his blood at a boiling point, with his emotions out of control, with the sight of an automobile accident that he saw a half hour before dancing in his mind, with maybe a dead body dancing in his mind, all he can think of, ride the lightning, you hag. I'm sorry I have to put it that way, Phil.
But what are you addressing a jury now?
Maybe I am addressing a jury, because this is something we have to let people know. Old people need to be tased like everybody else until they get the message. Here comes the pain, just like everyone else. You're no different.
All right, 877-877-877-877-Phil, 877-876-Phil. Let's take a phone call here in North Carolina. Cal, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Cal, how are you? Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Sorry to take up so much time.
Yes, sir, I can hear you very well. Thank you. Yes, uh-huh.
See, the more I listen to this thing, the more I learn about it. First of all, just listening to the conversation, I'm not on criminal statistics or anything, but listening to the sobbing story portrayed by this lawyer indicates that 99% of the crime is perpetrated by old people rather than young people.
No, you're not listening very well. I didn't say that, sir. I just said that when an old person commits a crime, they do not get punished because they're old and the judge is afraid to see them rot in jail. So they get to walk out with their son or their daughter or the caretaker or whatever, whoever's, taking care of them.
Yeah. Well,
you're taking that to mean because a cop knows that it's okay to dish out justice.
I didn't shout, just I said that the officer's now being provoked.
Yeah. All right. You see? I guess it's all in a matter of wearing that uniform. You're going to perceive reality somewhat differently from the person walking on the street. I'm sure that exactly cop perceives right. this old person as somewhat of a threat. But the average law-abiding citizen on the street does not perceive a 78-year-old lady as a threat to society. I mean, her a threat, but
but the average person on the street doesn't have to deal with that old lady the way a cop does. The cop's got to deal with it. And when it starts talking and yapping, the cop knows, well, I've told you the story. She goes in front of the judge, she walks, and she might have run over somebody, run them over and flattened them like a buttermilk pancake. And she walks the next day. The cop knows that, and he realizes this is the only chance anybody's going to get to punish her. I think I'll dish out a little bit of Electric Avenue. Yeah, well, you laugh if you want, sir. But
turn the music off. No wonder the guy's laughing. All right, sir, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. Thank you, sir. That was Cal. The world-famous Phil Henry Show with Harvey Wireman as we talk about the tasering of elderly people and Mr. Wireman's point of position being that because elderly people never go to jail for anything, that a cop is actually dishing out the only punishment they're going to get for their crime, and therefore it's okay.
No, wrong again. You blew it again. You blew it.
Well, I got to go to a commercial, okay?
You go ahead and go to the commercial. You blew it.
In other words, what?
In other words, I already said he was provoked beyond honor.
877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. What?
What I said was, that ain't Electric Avenue. What is that?
It's the Phil Henry Show.
When you play that song, you know,
what?
It sounds like the cops enjoy using their tasers.
I never made that statement, Mr. Henry.
When you play that song, Electric Avenue, by the singer, it sounds as if you're making the point that the police enjoy using their tasers. And I don't think that's the point that you want to make at all. Let's go over to Jim in Pennsylvania. Jim, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Harvey Wireman and Phil Henry. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I just wanted to comment that, you know, I had to actually turn the radio station off for a little while just to clear my head, because I look at this whole picture here, and I listen to what this gentleman is saying, and he's making a mockery out of the Constitution in the United States. You know, people have rights.
I'm an attorney,
regardless of whether he's an attorney or not.
The police who are up against it. The police
now,
are
Harry,
up against
had
it.
You had your chance to talk, but to justify the use of excessive force on any person, whether they're elderly or not,
is excessive.
And there was a gentleman earlier that alluded to the fact that police officers are trained to use restraint and as less force as possible to restrain a situation.
Yes,
true. And I will testify to that as a former military policeman. That is certainly the case. Now,
I was a Marine. You know, I was a Marine, and I ran up against you guys in the shore patrol. And let me tell you, you guys used excessive force. Don't give me that baloney. You guys beat the hell out of a lot of Marines down in Tijuana. You think that's funny? I saw it happen, my friend. I was a military police officer. That's a laugh.
Harvey, you know what? Don't disrespect the guy. Nobody's disrespecting you.
The fact that you can trounce on the Constitution and just use excessive force whenever you deem a police officer feels insulted or for some reason in your mind has some right to be able to tase any person, whether they're elderly or not, is just
right, can I ask you a question?
It's to a point now where you have police officers who are engaging in high speed pursuits, and actually people are being killed because they're being pursued by officers that have gone beyond. I want to ask you a question. Beyond due process and caution, you have a limitation and you have a responsibility to your to the public. I just want to be clear.
You used to beat up jarheads down at Tijuana, and that makes you a lawyer. Is that it? I just want to be clear.
He didn't say that at all.
No,
he never said that at all.
Is,
he said it was a military police officer.
He used to take the stick to him. They love to beat up these. They love to beat up grunts.
You know what? Quite honestly, you know, I would not use excessive force.
You
would
turn that off.
Ever.
Mr. Wireman,
you know,
and it's not excessive. It's not excessive.
And whatever your lawyer training is.
Tasering an old lady, it's never excessive. Not when you tase an old lady, it's not excessive. It's appropriate.
Oh, my goodness. You know.
It is. It's appropriate, given the fact that she's never going.
At Harvard or whatever law school she went to.
I wish.
Phil Hendry.
I wish.
Visit us online at talkradionetwork.com. It's Phil Hendry Show. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
We need to fix the problem so people don't have to worry about disengaging the engine.
I believe there are very outstanding, patriotic gay people who serve in the military.
And just when we thought the confidence couldn't get any higher.
I'm not big on the word police, but I will say this. This is bleeping retarded.
Don't condescend to me.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our pitch. On this show, we take you through the looking glass, the Alice in Wonderland of talk radio. We give you an idea as to what's really going on with media, with the news, with events, and maybe with what you're thinking. Our number every night is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And we also have, of course, our website, philhendryshow.com. That's like just part and parcel. I mean, you can't do one without the other. You can't have the phone number, bud.
Yeah, without the website.
Without the website. You must have the phone number or the website. Phone number, website. And the website, of course, has our PDF file right now. We're doing a site redesign where you can look at all of the affiliates that we have across the country, and you can tune into your local affiliate, and we're on so many wonderful stations, and like that, man. Okay, so coming up tonight, Miley Cyrus's little sister, Noah Cyrus, has started, now dig this, the kid is eight, and of course she hasn't. There must be an adult or something behind this, but Miley Cyrus's little sister has started her own lingerie for kids line. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Joining us this evening to talk about this Noah Cyrus lingerie line. It's a very strange story. And just to give you guys the idea where I come from with this stuff, it just bothers me. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, for instance, do I got to have an old lady on TV advertising a vibrator? Did you see that? Mr. Bozell, you there?
Yes, Phil, I am. What does that come to? As a surprise, I've not seen that.
There's a commercial on television right now with some ugly, wrinkled-up old bags, and they're talking about vibrators. Why? Viagra. What the hell is that about? These four impotent old creeps playing guitars, singing about, oh, hey, isn't it great, I can get an erection, and the commercial is playing at 4 o'clock in the afternoon so kids can see that, so they can be disgusted by their fathers or their grandfathers or their uncles playing banjos and happy that they finally got an erection, and now we have this.
Well, I don't know about the other two.
And I realize I jumped in and gave you sort of a big, I guess I gave you a big broadside there, but isn't this Miley Cyrus, this Noah Cyrus line of lingerie, this is an eight-year-old kid. When is this going to end, you know?
Well, Bill, that's my point. You know, I'm a member of a teacher, or of a parent group at Corona KC Elementary School. My daughter went through elementary school there. My son went through elementary school there. And we're concerned about this. We don't think that, just like you said, I don't think kids, you know, at what point do we have to turn our kids, turn them out, you know, and put them out on the street with a sign on them. I from my way of thinking, it's wrong.
All right, now you're more familiar with this than I am. We do have the story, though, from the New York Daily News, and Stephen Bozell is joining us, a concerned parent from Corona, California, about this Noah Cyrus. This is Miley Cyrus's kid sister. She has a line of lingerie. Now, here is the story. Little girls across the nation may soon be able to dress like their older sisters thanks to a trendy and edgy new fashion line being launched by Miley Cyrus's kid sister.
And Phil, I'm going to jump in. That's how they sell it. They call it edgy, and they call it trendy.
So the little kids are interested in it.
Yeah, so little girls get interested in it. And let me just say...
Before you do, and I don't mean to interrupt you, Steve, I'll finish just reading this.
Yes, sir.
A trendy and edgy new fashion line being launched by Miley Cyrus's kid sister Noah and her best friend, reports CocoPerez.com. And Emily Grace Reeves, who's the 8-year-old actress who played Cindy Lou in Hannah Montana, the movie, has teamed up with 9-year-old Noah, who I guess hasn't done anything yet, and Ooh La La Couture designers to create versatile styles that can be worn. Anyway, what are these clothes, Steve? Do you know?
Yes, sir. This is a lingerie line for little girls. They have a leopard print miniskirt that is very revealing. They also have lace stockings, and they have fingerless black gloves, that ensemble. That's, I guess, part of what Miley Cyrus looks like. And to me...
Have you seen any of these?
Yes, sir, I have. And I've seen some of the girls, little 8-year-olds, wearing them. And I got to tell you, you see them wearing it, and you go, it's kind of distracting. And so that's why I have
Well, what do you mean distracting? I mean, you're looking at a little kid.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. And if a little kid, talk about a little 8-year-old girl putting on a leopard print mini dress, and she got on them fingerless. If you've ever seen the models that wear those fingerless black gloves, they're already, they look very hot on them. And now you got a little 8-year-old girl wearing it, and she's got on a miniskirt and everything, and boy, you get kind of distracted by all of that. So,
but what do you mean distracted, Steve? I don't understand. You're not somehow stimulated by this?
No, Mr. Henry. The point I'm trying to make here is that...
Well, when you say that the little girls are wearing, which I find to be, I'm sorry, and I don't give a crap if someone thinks that I'm some kind of a prude. Jesus, as I've said many times in the show, once you hit 18, once you're an adult, man, you can do anything you want, look any way you want, be anything you want, live anywhere you want, put on any kind of a headdress you want, wear any kind of makeup. But a kid is a kid,
That is exactly my point. And so when you see a little girl, and she's got on fingerless black gloves, she's got on a leopard miniskirt, she's got on some of it's a little bit see-through.
What's see-through?
Well, the lace stockings are see-through. And you go, man, that's definitely something to keep you awake at night. And so you imagine when a girl...
When you say it's going to keep you awake at night, what do you mean? With a little girl?
Not in essence a little girl. Please understand this, because I don't want you to think that I'm...
Well, I know you're not, but what you're saying sounds... So tell me, when you're talking about this Noah Cyrus line of lingerie for 8-year-old girls, what's your concern?
My concern is that it grows them up way too fast. These are little girls. They should be playing hopscotch. They should be doing all the things that you know that little girls do, and playing jacks. And when you put them into a miniskirt and you put them into some kind of a lace stocking kind of thing and garter belts or whatever they're doing.
Garter belts?
I don't know, but they have this lingerie line. All of a sudden you got men who are dropping their other kids off at school, taking a look at that. And, they're going to stay at the curb a couple of minutes longer just to see what's going on.
But again, what you understand, what you're saying sounds as if you somehow enjoy it.
No, sir, I'm not.
Well, when you say that the men are dropping their kids off are going to hang at the curb... A little.
Well, it's unusual, and it's any man is going to take a look, want to take a look, but
No, not any man. If it's a little 8-year-old girl wearing it, for God's sake, the first thing you're going to think is, that's a child that I'm looking at there, and she's dressed as an adult, almost as if you're looking at a JonBenet Ramsey, right?
Well, these children they put on the lingerie. If you understand, a little girl puts on lingerie, or a little girl that puts on the fingerless gloves and everything, she's going to going out the door. You know, she wants to get looked at. And
she's a child, though.
Yes, sir, she is. Absolutely a child. And you know, they're asking for it as well. They're not asking for it. But
whoa. When you say asking for it...
No, let me... What I'm saying is the parents are asking for it. If the child says, I want to wear a bikini, you know, I want to get a mini skirt and have on stockings that you can look up, take a look at it. I mean, you know, they're begging... The parents are begging for it, and you're going to... It is due, but the point that I'm...
No, the kid isn't begging for anything. The kid is an 8-year-old kid. It's a kid. It's a little child. It's not responsible for anything. She's not responsible necessarily for her actions. She is a child. She is learning. The parents, yes, I'll give you that.
Absolutely. And so I'm sitting at the curb, and I'm taking a look at it. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure you understand. Man's going to linger a little bit. And I want to know whether these parents...
No, sir, I don't understand that. That's the whole point. You know...
Well, Mr. Randall, you know...
No, I don't understand that, but I do agree with you that the parents that let their kid out the door in the Noah Cyrus lingerie to go to school in haven't got a clue, and I'll give you that. But no, I'm not going to linger at the curb. I don't know what you mean by that.
I'm just saying that there's two victims. There's the child, and there are the fathers that are dropping the children off. They're victimized, too.
In what sense? Because the kid's wearing lingerie?
Because they don't want to be victimized. They're already victimized looking at... Like the teenage girls or even their wives' friends dressed that way. Now they're getting victimized by having a look at an 8-year-old as they drop off a kid. And so what we're saying at the elementary school is it's got to stop, and we have to stop the victimizations.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. So Steve Bozell joins us from Corona, California, talking about his school, which is an elementary school, Corona KC, that may be happening in other schools, but this is very new. It is a lingerie line that has been launched by, ostensibly, she's a kid, so she didn't launch anything, but Noah Cyrus, who is Miley Cyrus's sister, she has a lingerie line in her name. This is an 8-year-old girl. Mr. Bozell says there are two victims. There is the child wearing the lingerie and the fathers who are looking at it as they're dropping their kids off. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Your phone calls for our guest Steve Bozell up next. Are these kids asking to be stared at by adults? That's what Steve says. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show. Larry, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Gerald Fisher.
Hey, Phil, I really don't know where to start.
Yes, sir.
I was going to ask this racist pig you've got on there.
Hey, I'm not calling you any names. I'm not calling you a name. You got to start off calling me a name. Is that it? Is that how you want this to go? You want to call you redneck? You want me to call you dumb redneck?
But I should.
Huh? I can't hear you over your CB radio, man. I can't hear you over that CB.
With the way you talk to that lady from Hawaii, I guess you're a male chauvinist pig too. And since you're such a
you sound like a crack. You sound like a dumb tobacco juice swallowing cracker. What you feel like? Feel good about that?
At least I'm not just a hillbilly that interrupts people while they're
No, you are a hillbilly. You are a hillbilly. You tell me to shut up. No white man tell me to shut up.
All right, come on.
He's back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. It's Phil Hendry Show.
What is this picture? Phil Hendry here with Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. He's a father of an 8-year-old. Your daughter is 8, isn't that right, Steve? Well, I lost Steve. We'll get him back on the line here in just a second. But Mr. Bozell from Corona, California, he's got an 8-year-old daughter. Mr. Bozell, you there?
Yes, sir. My daughter, April Jr., is actually 12, Mr. Andrews. She's in the...
she's in the middle school now.
Yes, sir. But she did come through the She came through the middle school, and the pictures that I just sent you are these are purported to be of this young either it is Noah Cyrus or some models, and you can see the one girl is wearing like what looked like knee-high boots, and she got on a black miniskirt. And the other little girl...
It looks like she could be in a ballet. You know, you see little girls in ballet dresses. That's not unusual.
She's got on, it's like black, and I don't know, she's got on them gloves with no fingers. That right there is going to make it... Well, you're going to stop and maybe take a look at that. And
see, I'm uncomfortable with the when you say I'm going to stop and take a look. I'm going to linger a while. That bothers me because it makes you sound as if you're interested.
No, sir, I'm not. No, I'm saying a natural reaction of some men, they would be revolted as they slow the car down and lean over to take a better look. But
you're making it sound as if these guys are cruising and looking at these girls for something other than for information. 877-876 Phil, here is Cara with Steve Bozell. Cara, go ahead.
Hey, Phil, how are you?
Yes, ma'am. Good, thank you.
Mr. Bozell?
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to say I'm not a mom. I'm a long-distance stepmom to four teenage stepchildren. Three are girls. And anyone that would allow their teenage or preteen child, their little girl, to wear adult clothing and clothing that is used primarily for adult pleasures needs to be slapped. That, in my opinion, as a woman, as a stepmom, I tuned in a little bit ago and I heard this and I was like, what the beep, beep, beep. You know, this was just...
Yeah, it's a Miley Cyrus deal, and her sister Noah's got a whole line of lingerie where the girls are dressed in stockings and all of this.
What the hell are their parents thinking? I mean, why
I don't know, ma'am, because you see, if you're a man dropping a little kid off and you see a little girl, you're going to take a look at that and, it gets your heart moving.
Whoa, that's the part that I don't like about. What do you mean it gets your heart moving?
It would get my guts moving to vomit. I'm looking at a little girl. I don't want to see my daughter dressed like that because automatically you see a little, any woman dressed.
I don't want to even see my stepdaughter in a Navy dress like that. Okay, Kara, your stepdaughter's...
Wait, Kara, your stepdaughter's in the Navy. She's an adult, and you're, like, really weirded out by an adult woman dressing that way?
I wouldn't even want to see my stepdaughter's teenage stepdaughter. I mean, I don't like it. It excites me.
It doesn't excite me, but...
That's the part that's bothering me. It excites you?
No, I'm saying I don't want to see a little girl dressed that way.
I would find that kind of lingerie in my stepdaughter,
right.
My teenage stepdaughter.
Thank you, Cara. Yeah, thank you for your call, but it's a little weird for you to be upset by an adult woman wearing that. Here is Oliver in Indianapolis. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
How you doing, Phil? Love the show.
Don't worry about it. Thank you.
I gotta tell you, this gentleman sounds like he's trying to suppress some sort of natural feelings he has. It sounds as though he says a normal man would be titillated by seeing a little girl dressed like this.
No, sir.
Well, that's what you're saying, because you're saying, you're going to slow down and lean over and check it out?
The immediate proper reaction is horror and disgust. It's not lingering to determine whether
that girl is actually
18 when she's 3'2".
I agree with you, but you know you're going to want to take a look.
No.
What does that mean, want to take a look? What do you mean?
If you're looking at a woman that she's showing, she's giving you...
It's not a woman, man. You understand it's not a... There's a woman, and then there's a kid.
No, I understand that, yeah.
You're looking at a kid, a little girl... it's somebody dolled up to look like an adult.
Right, and that will throw you because all you'll see is,
a skirt. A 3'2" child.
I don't know
he's
if you remember.
Clearly not a, he's clearly not a woman, regardless of what she's wearing. It's evident.
What do you mean? What do you mean he wasn't in the service?
Well, I don't think this gentleman was ever in the service, but 3'2" ain't going to slow anybody down, you know.
What does that mean? Are you talking about children?
No, sir, I'm not. No, sir. I'm saying that in the South, in Asia, when I was in Japan, no, not kids, but women that size.
No, we're talking about kids. And you're saying that you are slowing down or lingering or leaning over and checking them out, or, boy, that distracts you. That was the first word you used. You said a girl, a little 8-year-old child dressed in lace stockings and fingerless black gloves will distract you.
I think it's normal for a man to go, you know, boy, look, check that out, you know.
Even if it's an 8-year-old kid.
I think you guys have made this about me, and it's not really about me.
All right. Anyway, I appreciate your call tonight. I think your name was Scott, right? Or is it Culver? Who am I speaking with here? Culver? Oliver. Dude, sorry, man. I can't read. I can't see. 877-876-PHIL. Tell you what, we're going to have more phone calls when we come back from the break. And I didn't mean to talk to the lady about how, you know, but it's just not unusual. We're not talking about adults wearing this.
No, we are not. That is totally normal, and certainly.
Well, what happens if you see an adult wearing something like this, an adult woman?
That's you're not going to notice that because that's normal. But if I see a little 8-year-old girl, you know, if I'm driving down the road, yes, of course I'm going to slow the car down, you know, put my arm on the passenger side seat and kind of look over. And
you're going to slow the car down and look over if it's a kid, but not an adult.
Because you're used to seeing it.
All right, Stephen Bozell is with us. He says he doesn't like this Noah Cyrus line of lingerie for 8-year-old girls, but he says it's very distracting to see him dressed that way. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
You're misunderstanding everything I'm saying.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. The story here, Steve, I'm looking at the New York Daily News, but I guess this was in something called CocoPerez.com, which I don't know. What is that, a gossip site?
That's a gossip site. It's on MSN.
That Noah Cyrus, who is the younger daughter of Miley Cyrus, or the younger sister, I should say, of Miley Cyrus, has a lingerie line. Now, the lingerie line for 8-year-old girls is what you're talking with us about, and it's what you and I are discussing. Is it appropriate? I don't think it is, and I think you agree with me.
Yes, sir.
All right, but what I don't understand is the point of view that you're having, which is as follows. You need to understand, Mr. Henry, that when a man is dropping his kids off at school and he sees a 9-year-old girl get out of a car dressed in lingerie, he's going to linger for a while.
If you look at it, first of all, it's not about the 9-year-old girl, and you're misunderstanding me. You think that I'm attracted, you know, I want to look and, you know, I'm sure, yeah, right. I don't want to, you know, be all attracted to a 9-year-old girl. I'm not going to do anything like that. But the first thing you see is that, you know, a high heel shoe and a leg with lace. You're going to, if you're a normal man, you're going to say, you know, hey, you know, check out and see check who's playing shortstop or something like that. You know,
no, if I'm at an elementary school and I see a little tiny kid get out of a car.
No, but I'm just talking about the leg, just the leg.
The leg is of a 9-year-old girl.
I don't think you're being fair. All you're looking at is a lace-covered leg.
And by the way, she's not wearing high heels. She's probably wearing a sneaker.
All right. Well, sneakers, the same thing. But you're going to go, how did, good morning, little schoolgirl. I'm not saying.
Good morning, little schoolgirl. I applaud that you don't want to see this stuff on kids. I just wonder your own reaction. That's all I'm saying.
I think you're distorting it to make me look like I'm some kind of guy that wants to stand on a corner and open up a raincoat and hope I forgot to wear pants. That's not at all what I'm saying here.
Well, if it isn't, sir, it's sounding like it. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Eric in Houston, Texas. Eric, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Stephen Bozell. We're talking about Noah Cyrus. Go ahead.
All right. I'm going to try to stay calm here because this guy's got me so upset, Mr. Bozell. I understand what he's saying. He's trying to say a normal man is going to see an 8-year-old in some lingerie and he's going to take a second look. You are mistaken, dude. Only a sick man would do that.
Talk about lingerie.
Only a sick man would take a look, or his heart would pound, or he would take. I don't know what you're suggesting, but man, normal man would look at an 8-year-old. I don't care what she's wearing.
No, sir.
That's what you just said. You said a normal man would look at an 8-year-old.
I didn't say my heart would pound. I said that my hands might sweat a little bit,
Your hands would sweat.
What? Would not sweat, dude. You need help. If your hands would sweat, you need to go help. I don't understand how a man like you gets on the radio. You are sick.
I don't want to see children wearing these clothes. Well,
Sir, this is the first
time. Do you remember Shirley Temple? Not excited when you saw Shirley Temple.
What are you talking about, Shirley Temple?
I know.
You know
who
full
is
well.
This guy? Phil, who
sir,
is this guy?
Sir,
this guy's
I don't
an
want
idiot.
People. I don't want little girls wearing that clothing. That's what
yeah,
I said.
But
then you're saying.
You just said your hands would get sweaty if you saw an 8-year-old in some lingerie. I don't care if I saw a naked 8-year-old. My hands ain't gonna sweat, dude. You are crazy.
Well, but you don't agree. Or don't you agree with me that they shouldn't wear that?
It doesn't,
well,
Steve. Yes, we do
agree.
But the motivation that you seem to have, and that we have a motivation that is to protect these children from what to me is this predatory fashion and advertising industry, and your motivation is so that you don't get tempted.
No, I never did. Shirley Temple never tempted me. I just brought up Shirley Temple, and I was able to look at that.
You were able to look at what?
Steve, don't you understand that a man, if a man's hand, any man, if his hands are going to sweat when he sees an 8-year-old in lingerie, just hear me out, he's not a normal man, he's a sick man. Do you understand that?
I didn't say my hands are going to sweat. I said some guys.
Some guys are sick.
Yes, exactly, exactly. But
well,
Steve, when you said that,
a normal man is not going to look at an 8-year-old when his hands are going to sweat. I'm sorry.
Why do you think the little girl wears why do you think she wears a thong? Because she wants to attract men.
What do you mean a thong? They're wearing thongs.
They must be wearing thongs. I mean.
Man, Phil, you need to get this guy.
All right,
here's
what we do:
I'm the one that's trying to get it out. I'm the one that's trying to get him to take the phones off, get it out of here.
I don't understand with all due respect, sir, I don't understand how somebody with your intellect gets on the radio. I'm sorry. You got me so upset somebody like you on the radio.
I'm opposed to it.
Mr. Bozell, you could say you're opposed to it, and then you turn around and you say, I was able to resist Shirley Temple. That doesn't make me feel good, Steve. That makes me feel like maybe there's something wrong with you.
I got on your program with the best of intentions, and now you're making me look like I'm standing on a street corner.
No, you are making yourself look like that, sir. Sir, you making yourself look like that. You don't understand that if a man would look at a woman like you suggesting, that's a sick man. And you said that's a normal man.
You said a woman. I'm not talking about a woman.
I misspoke. Look, you said that.
If I look at a woman dressed like that, it doesn't bother me at all.
Well, that's a little weird.
You said if fathers go to schools and drop their girls off, and there's some 8-year-olds in lingerie, that they're gonna take a second look. And I'm saying you crazy.
That's weird.
Fathers do that. That's some sick fathers that would do
All right, Eric, thanks for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Steve, nobody's trying to gang up on you here. I'm asking you to look at your motivation.
Well, that's all you're doing, Mr. Henry. Let the record show, since I got on your program here at 7, and not 7, but 10. I'm looking if I got the right time here. Yes, at 10. 10:00. You have tried to.
We brought you on at about 10:08.
You're saying 10:08.
Yeah.
Okay, let me reset.
going to wait.
Sir, the time that I brought you on is not important. What's important here is what you said.
I came on saying that the Noah Cyrus lingerie line was perverted, was sick and twisted and wrecked, and you come on, and the first thing you did is say, "Oh, what's the matter? Don't you know? Are you getting off on it and everything?" And
well, no, I didn't say that.
Sir, that was the intimation.
But you were saying to me, boy, you know, you see a girl wearing, eight-year-old girl wearing lingerie, boy, you're going to slow down, you know, you take a look, you know.
If you're an eight-year-old boy, yeah. I didn't say anything about...
Yes, you did. You said the fathers.
I meant an eight-year-old boy who would be dropping off his... Well, I know they're not old enough to drive, but if they're in the car...
No. That's not what you said. I'm sorry, sir. I can roll the tape back if you'd like. Here is Karen on the Phil Hendry Show with Stephen Bozell. Go ahead.
I would like to hear that tape. Yes, sir.
Hey, here is Karen. Go ahead, Karen. Hi.
You know, I've been listening to this Steve guy. I've listened to your show, actually, a couple of times, and I think he's been on here a couple of times. Quite honestly, it sounds like a pervert, you ask me. And as for being highly intellectual, as your last guest, which is why... I don't think he's of high intelligence, because no one of high intelligence would speak like this man is speaking. And as for the kids, you know, would he feel better if he put them in PJs instead of calling it lingerie? I don't care what an eight-year-old kid wants to wear. I agree they shouldn't be let out, you know, maybe looking slutty. But what difference does it make? Why does that give him the right to sit here and be distracted or hangover? I think they should put him in jail. Get the kids.
Put me in jail. What about the mother that lets your child, lets your daughter walk out there like she's a $500 a half hour hooker and she's eight?
Hey,
what about
you
that
know what?
Mother?
You know what? I've seen boys
so
walk in and they play in their underpants.
Oh.
What's the difference? Do I stand there and stare at the boy in his underpants?
Excuse me? Any mother that would send a daughter out into the world looking like a $500 every 30 minute hooker, in my opinion, belongs in to be waterboarded. I mean, I hate to say it. Waterboarding,
your opinions are worth much, quite frankly. I think you're the pervert. You're the one who's going to stand outside and be distracted by an eight-year-old. And
there
you're
is music.
The mother?
Yeah, I'm saying any mother that would I bet you're the kind of woman that dresses your kid like she's going to stand on a street corner and say what it is to the first guy going by in a two-tone. Now, you can hear this music here. I bet you do. Here's music.
You know, this is getting very personal, Steve.
Well, this lady's talk. She's given... Do you hear this music, Mr. Hendry?
Yeah.
This is called runway music. This is fashion show music. The children are forced to hear this while they're putting on these...
No child's being forced to listen to any music, Steve. You're making it up.
You know an awful lot about this. You know an awful lot about this, ma'am. I'm getting a little nervous about you now. You're all, it's okay. And...
Hey, you know what? It's a free society. People should be able to walk around and look like they want without people like you staring at them.
8-year-old children, since when do they make the decision to dress like sluts? I'll tell you
what?
when their mothers
dress
like a slut.
Your opinion that they dress like a slut.
You think a little 8-year-old girl ought to wear a leotard with a no crotch and everything?
What do you mean no crotch? An 8-year-old. That's what I think.
I got to tell you, Karen, this is Phil. I don't even know what you're talking. Are you saying that mothers that dress their daughters in lingerie, that's cool? Is that what you're saying? Because
no,
I don't even know that I like
cool.
Your point of view any more than Steve. Well, what are you talking about then? Because
yeah, you tell her, Mr. Hendry.
No, I don't like what you're saying
about.
Either.
Oh, you're too bad.
I don't
like what Steve is saying. He's a pervert. He's a racist.
No, I'm asking you. You think it's okay for a mother to dress a little girl in stockings like this?
You know what?
An 8-year-old child?
No, I don't think it's appropriate. But I also don't think it's appropriate that Steve turn around and hang out the window and be distracted.
I agree. I agree with you there. I agree with you.
What's the difference if a little boy runs around in his underwear with his shirt off? Am I, as a woman, going to stand out and look at him and gawk at him and get all whatever?
Yeah,
no.
Maybe.
So what's
maybe
the difference? Is it a female?
Maybe you are.
Is that the problem?
Wait a minute. I agree with the lady here, Steve. I don't agree with you saying that you're going to linger, okay?
Well, she just said she's going to check out a kid wearing underwear. Oh, man.
I said, what?
Boy, we're getting... No, you
what's
said
the difference
that
if he had a little boy out
linger.
There in underwear? What, because it's a girl?
Exactly.
You got to gawk? I don't gawk at 8-year-old.
Oh, wow. You're going to check a kid out wearing his wearing a briefs and nothing more.
No, she didn't say that. Look at Karen, I got your point. Thank you very much for clarifying for me. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Stephen Bozell. What the hell is that, bud?
That's music.
Will you turn that garbage off? Stephen Bozell talking to us about Noah Cyrus, the little sister of Miley Cyrus, who has had her name associated with a new line of lingerie for kids. And we're speaking with Mr. Bozell, who's come on our program, to say that he doesn't like it. He doesn't want kids dressing that way, and we agree with him. And he's gone on to say that it's distracting for men to see a little girl dressed like that. And that's a problem for us. 877-876-PHIL. More of your calls with Steve Bozell here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You stuck up for that lady, and she wants to look a little boy in bun huggers.
No, she doesn't.
Well, Phil Hendry.
Little kid running around in bun huggers, she's checking it out.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, and with me is Stephen Bozell. I'm listening to music here. What is this? Steve?
Oh, yeah, Phil, this is another example of what we were talking about. This is music from a fashion show music. The children are basically told to listen to it. What I've done is I've downloaded pictures of the Miley Cyrus lingerie onto my computer because my daughter wanted to see what it looked like. I've probably got about 70 or 80 pictures of it, and I now want to delete them because I feel uncomfortable having that much of, you know, in one place, or not one place, but having all that on my computer.
And you're uncomfortable having a Miley Cyrus lingerie. Now, technically, it's not porn because it's being... will you please turn that music off?
But that's the fashion show music.
I don't want to hear fashion show music, okay?
But that, again, that's the music the children are they are told, when you put on a pair of underwear or whatever you're going to wear, and then go down the runway. And I've downloaded music. I've probably got 30 or 40 cuts of this music.
That's fine. Thank you very much. We're just talking about the pictures. You've got Miley Cyrus, you've got Noah Cyrus pictures, and it's of lingerie, and it's appeared in advertisements, and it's part of a reputable company's ad campaign. So it's not porn. It's not child porn. We feel it is very inappropriate to dress children this way. Why were you nervous having these pictures?
I think any man would be nervous having that much. I mean, in one location, you want to spread it out.
Why? Why would I want to, quote, spread it out?
Because it's not porn, and yes, you're right. But if you've got a computer...
Why would the police come in? If all you're looking at is is Noah Cyrus in lingerie, which is a inappropriate use of a kid, in my opinion, nonetheless, it's not porn.
Yeah, I'm hedging I think any man would hedge his bets.
Hedges bet. Everything you've been saying on my show tonight, Mr. Bozell, with the exception of playing that fashion show music, and even that is a little weird, has been suspect as far as I'm concerned. Here's Carrie in Wichita, Kansas. Carrie, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
All right. I believe that the children should dress more age appropriate. And that's the only thing I'm going to agree with this guy on. I would hate to see how he would react around a water park because he's a freak. Anybody who would slow their damn car down and put their arm, and however he was describing it, to take a second look, to linger.
Exactly.
You need to check yourself in someplace, and you need to get some help because you're messed up in the head. And I would call social services and have some counselors come out and talk to your daughter and make sure you haven't messed with her. You freak me out.
Hold on just for just a second here, friend, because you're making some charges here. Now,
you freak me
Well, Steve,
out.
Why should I? What are you dressed up in lingerie like you're 8 years old? Oh, okay.
Well, you know what, Steve? You can be funny if you want, but what the gentleman is saying, it caused me concern. What do you mean, slow the car down?
You understand, and this man understands. You're going to slow down and lean over and take another look.
If it's an 8-year-old
I'm
kid,
not.
Is what we're talking about.
You're not.
Well, no.
What? What are you talking about?
An 8-year-old kid is what we're talking about. Why would you slow the car down and check that out?
not saying that I'm going to do anything. I'm saying it confuses you.
Looking is doing. Looking is thinking. You need to check yourself in and get some help.
I know. You've got a whole set of rules that you want the whole world to work. I just don't go by
your
rules.
Exactly. I have an 8-year-old daughter. And if I saw somebody you slowing the car down and taking a second look and lingering, I'm going to do something. I'm going to freak out.
Are you going to let your daughter dress like that? Your daughter dress like that?
I told you in the beginning. I think kids should dress age appropriate. That is the only thing I agree with you on.
Then I won't slow down.
Don't slow down anyway. Don't slow down anyway.
If it's an instinct, what am I supposed to do?
This is what the man's saying.
Then you need
a doctor.
Check yourself in.
You need a doctor.
Check myself into a... you're talking about a lunatic asylum?
Somewhere.
That takes a pair.
A lunatic asylum. We're talking about talk to a professional, Steve, if you're slowing down and checking it out.
I just got done saying, I don't think kids should wear crotchless panties or whatever.
Oh, for God's sake. Will you get to...
What?
We're talking about the Noah Cyrus line. Is that what she's selling?
I don't know, Mr. Henry. I don't know.
Well, if she somebody ought to place him under arrest. Carrie, thanks for your call, and we'll take one more here from Ed. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Stephen Bozell. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I'd just like to tell this fellow, you know, I don't think he needs to check into an asylum. I think he escaped from one. If I was behind him, he's pervert.
I didn't escape from asylum. I've got a home, and I've got two kids,
man,
and I don't want to see anything,
let me tell you something, man. No. If I was behind you in the line and I seen you turn around and start talking that daggum 8-year-old girl, I'd snatch you out of that car. You're a pervert.
And you're going to snatch me out for what? Because I'm saying, hey, look, that kid's dressed inappropriate.
No, you're staring at an 8-year-old girl. You're staring at an 8-year-old girl. I don't care. You was talking about some girl. You know, you was talking about her legs and fish stockings a little while ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, you were.
You're a pervert.
Okay, it's going to slow you down, isn't it?
Man, let me tell you something. Wait. I'm a normal guy. There's no way on God's green earth that I'm going to turn around and look at an 8-year-old girl.
I don't care. You wouldn't get on your knees for that.
Get on your knees for it.
You're sick.
You're misunderstanding everything.
I ain't misunderstand you and nothing, man. You talking about gawking at an 8-year-old girl.
No, sir.
You talking about staring at one. Man, I heard what you said. You sat there and repeated it.
They said that if there's a new girdle line for 8-year-old girls, what I was saying.
No, we're not going about that, man.
They said that.
What you said was...
Phil Henry.
That's what they said.
Visit us online at talkradionetwork.com. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
And this just in, Oprah Winfrey will announce tomorrow that she's decided to end her show.
And this just in, what you're watching is two guys going out for lunch.
I'll just finish up and say, you know, I disagree with Mr. Brady. I have the greatest respect for him.
And actually, the GOP has been the leader in starting good environmental programs.
Captain Cajones.
Cuddle with me.
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows no bounds. The reality is our bitch version of talk radio. This is the Through the Looking Glass, Alice in Wonderland version of talk radio. And we're here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Thank you for being with us. You can check us out online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com for live streaming video and live streaming audio. Visit us as well at Twitter at twitter.com/philhenryshow. That's a Twitter site operated by the staff. Bud Dickman with me along with Robert Leonard and Ranson Rodriguez back at the studio, and those guys weigh in there. And coming up on the show tonight, Fox News apologizes for airing misleading video of Palin. Also, senators want to tax plastic surgery. College students were arrested for not leaving a tip. And on that particular note, we're going to have Ted Bell on the show. Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills. He's going to be discussing
This whole idea, Ted owns a restaurant, and we've had him on the program before talking about retail issues.
What do you mean, retail?
Retail as opposed to wholesale.
Yeah. You know what it is.
I'm just saying. Retail is, the wholesale is the middleman. Retail is...
the guy who's coming up the rear.
You know what? You're so stupid, man. You turn everything into a sexual innuendo, okay?
Yeah, you do, man. Well, what do you mean?
Just never mind, okay? Retail is the cat that you go see when you go buy whatever that crap is that you drink in the morning, okay? And wholesale is the cat that has it in the warehouse, and the guy that makes it, that's the guy at the very beginning. So we're going to talk to Ted about these retail issues. Thank you for taking me off point. Thank you very much for slowing the show down.
You're welcome.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. So essentially what we have here is a situation vis-a-vis health care where the senators now want to tax plastic surgery. We're going to bring on the line here Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association, along with her husband, Steve Dooley, both of them very active in social issues as well as issues regarding these kinds of medical procedures. And Bobby joins us from Western Estates, California this evening. And first of all, Bobby, I thank you. And how did your fashion show go?
It was terrific, Bill. Thank you for asking. We had a great turnout, and we had a lot of great young ladies in our fashion show, and we were able to raise a sizable amount of money for the Bobby and Steve Dooley charity. So I thank you for asking.
Let's talk about this idea of plastic surgery being a part of the health care bill. I recognize that plastic surgery, when it is applied to people who really need surgery because they are disfigured, because they have a real life-impacting injury to the face or someplace else, I think that that's a necessity, a medical necessity. Cosmetic plastic surgery, though, doesn't strike me that way.
Well, Phil, we disagree with that. Steve and I both think that cosmetic plastic surgery is probably just as necessary, if not more so, than the surgeries that you described, which are generally the result of someone who was not perhaps being as careful as they can in their lives. I don't think wanting to give a chimpanzee a kiss on the lips is probably very endearing, and it's probably something that people who are trained to do that kind of a thing can do, like zookeepers or people in zoo shows. I know Steve...
Yeah, well, people that do the zoo show.
Well, if you're talking about the people that were hurt by the chimpanzees?
I'm referencing just a couple of those, yeah.
Well, no, those are people that were absolutely injured by those chimpanzees. I don't want to get into a discussion of that. I want to talk about this idea of plastic surgery being not an elective procedure when it is viewed by insurance, possibly national insurance.
Well, sir, we don't think it is an elective procedure. Plastic surgery is necessary, certainly, for a great many women who otherwise create a difficulty for themselves as well as friends and family when they have facial features that don't conform to the paradigm, the environment. And Steve and I have talked at length about this. We were in Sacramento last week meeting with Senator Bob Bouchard from Bakersfield, who understands what we're talking about.
What do you, when you were talking to Senator Bouchard, state senator?
Yes, he's a state senator from Oildale, and was telling us that he's 100% behind us when we mentioned to him.
Now, I want to be clear, though. First of all, when you talk about plastic surgery being helping somebody conform to the environment, what is that?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Well, we're glad you asked that, because more and more we recognize that there are certain environments where individuals that do not conform to the uniform look of others are going to suffer, and they're going to suffer both socially, they're going to suffer economically. I can give you an example from something as banal as cheerleaders. It is not the most important job in the world, and yet I'm sure you agree that all cheerleaders in a college drill team need to have a uniform look.
Yeah, a uniform look of acceptability, Mr. Henry, being a cheerleader.
A uniform look of acceptability, okay. But let's forget about cheerleaders for a minute. Let's just talk about in your neighborhood where you and Steve live, where the rest of you live. Are you saying that the women there would qualify for insurance, national insurance coverage for plastic surgery?
Absolutely, they would. I'll give you, I hope, a clear example. When you live in a neighborhood like ours, we live in a gated community. Most of the homes here are 6,000 to 7,000 square feet, if not larger. There are a lot of social functions that are going on a weekly basis. There's a lot of meet and greet. We do have a lot of press coming here because of the fact that our community is very beautiful, and we have a lot of magazine coverage. Western States has been covered in Cocktails and Patio, in Home and Garden, and places like that. If you have individuals that are advertising or otherwise spotlighting or highlighting your neighborhood, and you do have women in the neighborhood that are, I always get into trouble when I talk about this, women that are...
Well, you used a phrase on the show once. I don't think you used it. Somebody else might have used it. Unusual looking?
No, I don't remember using it, but that is... unusual doesn't mean ugly. Unusual means unusual for where you are. And so...
All right, if I'm hearing you right, the idea of getting plastic surgery to for a nose job, as they say...
Yeah, ear bob.
Or if, for instance, people have often had plastic surgery to put a cleft in the chin, to put in dimples, to have liposuction, to firm up an area, for a tummy tuck. Why is it that women who are looking to enhance their physical appearance so that they have the ability to get married, so they have the ability to get a job, so they have the ability to interact socially and politically in their neighborhood communities, so they have the ability to interact politically and socially in their children's schools? Why is it those women have to pay for that kind of surgery when the type of surgery we're talking about might be the difference between them being more active in their community or sitting at home and literally doing nothing other than...
Yeah, just sitting there.
Just sitting there and wishing that they were, you know, me or Steve or someone like that. And I don't mean to point out myself.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people that might say, Ms. Dooley, it doesn't matter what you look like.
You know, I don't mean to interrupt you, Phil. That is a very tragic lie.
A lie?
It's not only a lie, it's a tragic lie. There are a lot of women out there that buy into that. And then they wonder why it is they're the ones who are doing the cooking in the kitchen when a fashion show is put on, when a social function is happening, when there's a fashion show. They're not in the fashion show.
Yeah, they're in the back cooking. They'll have them out in the front.
Yes, they're in the back cooking. Really what we told Senator Bouchard and Boxworth was the following. We want to bring women out from behind the big soup dish and put her in the limelight. Let's get her out of the apron and away from the industrial-sized janitor in a drum and all of those things. And
so far you've been talking about plastic surgery. As something that is only going to benefit women who are in these homeowners associations or who are in fashion shows or are doing social functions, what other women will plastic surgery paid for by a national health plan or paid for at least by this health insurance exchange, how is this going to help the average woman?
Well, Phil, I'm very happy you asked that. Ugly women are in many ways a burden on our society. And I want you to please listen.
Boy.
I want you to please listen to what I'm going to say. Ugly women are a burden on our society because they need plastic surgery to fix some of God's mistakes. We think we should be covered by the health care bill, national insurance, or whatever you call it.
That national bill.
Well, the health insurance reform.
the health insurance reform.
Oh, yeah.
We think it should be covered by that because, okay, how much more, now I remember what I wanted to say, how much more money are we going to spend on a psychiatrist bill that may not get covered by the reform?
Well, you know what? It's more likely, it's the health reform bill, Ms. Dooley. It's more likely that psychiatric treatment is going to be covered than the plastic surgery that you're talking about.
So why not, as you were just saying, eliminate the middleman? Let's get the plastic surgery that these girls need so they are not walking around with these faces that got off the assembly line too soon, as Steve likes to say.
Yeah, God wasn't finished.
God wasn't finished. And let's make this a national priority so that these girls are not going to be forced to go to a psychiatrist. And you know that a lot of these girls go to psychiatrists. They wind up hanging themselves in bathrooms. To me...
Oh, God. You know, Ms. Dooley, that's not necessarily the truth, especially if they're getting some kind of treatment.
But to me, it is far more important to get them that nose job or whatever they've got, whatever it is their boyfriend or their husband is suggesting, so that we can get them on the road to, you know, Western states and other communities and other social interaction like ours.
The healthcare reform is what we want to talk about.
Okay, thank you. Hold on for just a second here. 877-876-PHIL is our number. As Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association talk about healthcare reform and that it must cover plastic surgery, which would be elective. We're not talking about plastic surgery for people who have facial injury. Plastic surgery for people that need nose jobs or whatever, liposuction, whatever, because it is far better to fix, quote, God's mistakes now than to have that girl be treated by a psychiatrist who, and that statistic that most of them wind up hanging themselves, bud.
No, I'll check it out.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Coming up later in the show, Ted Bell. This is the world-famous, groundbreaking Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
It sounds like you need water.
There's no need for an 8-year-old child to learn how to fire a machine gun unless he's living in Somalia. In which case, you know, line him up, man. The shooting range's open in Massachusetts.
The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL with Bobby and Steve Dooley here. You had a comment, Bobby, and we'll get to some phone calls here. 877-876-PHIL as we talk with Bobby and Steve Dooley about making plastic surgery part of the national health insurance coverage. Most of this surgery is looked at as elective. When you talk about liposuction or you talk about tummy tucks or you talk about facelifts or you talk about so-called nose jobs, this is elective surgery. You guys think this is a mandatory and very vital surgery. Now, you mentioned mental health, Bobby.
Well, so let me follow up on that.
Go ahead.
You know, we have a lot of mental ill or mentally ill people.
Yeah.
If their mental illness is because of their inability to react or relate to people, because when people look at them, they may say, well, that's not really the kind of person that I want to look at every day. What does that do to the young woman who is trying to join a sorority or who's trying to get that first job as a receptionist? Or
well, what about, you know, science, lawyer?
Yes, for science or lawyer. Wouldn't it be much less expensive to have them go in and have their face done than to go to a psychiatrist?
Yeah, psychiatrists be expensive, Mr. Henry, and that's just what the kid said in the news.
You know, I wish you guys wouldn't say that, okay?
What did we say?
I wish you wouldn't assume that because a girl goes to a psychiatrist, she's going to wind up killing herself. But to me, not only does it devalue the good work of psychiatrists and mental health care professionals, it's not necessarily the case. 877-876-PHIL. Marshall in Washington State, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Marshall, go ahead.
Yeah, I just think that you guys are pretty shallow if you think that just because a woman doesn't look good that she has to have plastic surgery. Now, what's to stop people?
Well, no, I didn't say she has to. I said that it should be paid for by taxpayers if she does elect to have it.
Now, my question here, I've got, like, a weak pill. Now, why shouldn't should the government pay to get that fixed? Or should the government... See what I'm going? Like, everybody's going to have something they're going to want the government to pay for.
You've got an ugly what? You have an ugly what?
Toe. Like a big toe. I got a toe that's ugly. So shouldn't the government fix that, too?
I think if it keeps you from... are you lonely? I mean, do you not have friends?
No, I'm perfectly fine. I have a wife.
All right,
I have
a
daughter.
Then it's not hurting you.
So,
but if your daughter... For instance, if you had a daughter and she had a face that... Only, you know, as the saying goes, only a mother could love. Wouldn't you want her to be able to have the face she wants so that she's more acceptable?
Yeah, to be more acceptable.
Okay, so I'm going to pay for that. I wouldn't expect you guys to pay to get my daughter's face fixed. I'm going to pay for that.
What about the people who can't afford it?
Yeah, what about that? Yeah, see?
There are people that can't afford it. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so... But you didn't answer my question. Why is this not going to escalate into, like, a snowball effect that everybody and their dog's going to want something done to their bodies? And
well, I just told you, because, first of all, you're a man, so it wouldn't cover you necessarily, because there's a different standard for men than there are for women.
So you're talking about this mostly covering women?
It'll cover both sexes, but men that go in for that kind of plastic surgery are generally socially looked down upon, whereas women... are almost expected to have some kind of work done.
You think that men who go in for plastic surgery are looked down upon socially?
Yeah, I think so.
Steve and a lot of his friends think so because it's not the most masculine thing to go in and get a facelift, you know.
All right, well, I mean, you know, I had to tell a whole bunch of entertainers that, you know.
Well, entertainers are different.
So this is primarily for women.
That's the way we see it, yeah. And so this man... And his toe. I don't know why he brought that up because it's really, it doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about.
It's talking
but thank
about
you so
the
much.
Government paying for
thank you
little
so much for
things.
Your thank you very much, though. I guess it was a good question. I don't know.
But you still didn't answer how the government's supposed to pay for everybody's little plastic surgery that they need done.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
The gentleman is asking a question.
Is this the same man?
Yes.
Well, I thought that we were done with his question.
No, his question is, will the government pay for every little bit of plastic surgery?
Yes, of course it will. Of course it will.
All right, so if this man went in with this big toe...
If that man really feels like that big toe of his is something that's bothering him and keeps him from moving up the societal ladder, why shouldn't it be covered in a health plan if it's affecting his life?
Yeah, your toes, I don't know, I mean, do people, you be into feet or something? I don't know.
Is he into feet? I don't either. But in any event, that's the answer to the question there, Marshall. I appreciate your call. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Bobby and Steve Dooley. I'm not sure you guys are answering the question.
I said that men are covered, too. The idea of men needing plastic surgery, I think, is repulsive to a lot of them.
Yeah, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Bobby and Steve Dooley. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
What was your question?
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Talking health care here in the early stages of our show tonight with Bobby and Steve Dooley. Should the national health care reform, whatever it may be, cover what has traditionally been considered elective plastic surgery? That would mean liposuction, you know, breast enhancement, tummy tucks, and the kind of rhinoplastic surgery they call nose jobs, ear bobbing. I don't know what they call that. And, Bobby, you and Steve and I were discussing this during the break. You said that there was a old wives' tale?
No, not an, it's it's not really an old wives' tale. It's just it's a prevailing attitude that I think has been so destructive, and I wanted to sort of put it to rest, and that is that there has been a long-standing lie, really. I think you can only call it a lie, that you can be, if you're a girl, you can be fat and pretty. Well, no, you can't. There is no such thing as a pretty fat girl. Other girls know that.
Whoa. I mean, I may not... You know, I've often had people say to me, well, Phil, you like women that are larger?
Because you may like it doesn't mean that it is a standard of beauty. And
Give me an answer about your childhood, though, on that.
Which is part of the questionnaire.
What do you mean a questionnaire? On why I might like heavier women?
Well, you have to look at whether or not there was a fat housekeeper in your home, a woman that touched you.
I beg your pardon. There's no such history in my life.
I'm not trying to get you angry.
Well, that's the most asinine thing to say, that men that like a heavier woman were molested by a fat housekeeper.
We said a woman, not a man.
I don't care whether it's a woman or a man. I think that that's insulting.
So the point, can we get back to the point?
Well, I think you're taking us far away from the point if you're asking me if I was molested by a fat housekeeper.
Can we get back to the point, please?
Go ahead.
The only thing we're trying to say is, if you're ugly, and I hate using that word.
What is ugly? Define ugly for me.
So ugly is any, for instance, two uneven body parts, a pockmarked face, the so-called Roman or Jew nose. And I don't say that racially.
I don't like that term, Jew nose, okay?
But what about Roman nose? What's wrong with that?
Roman nose is more acceptable only because it we're talking about the Italian people. It's the word Jew.
All right, the Roman nose, which some people call the Jew nose. There's a term, and also, of course, a balding, unibrow, big ears, small breasts, a sagging or flat derriere, and, of course, too fat. There's a terrible lie, as I told you. There's no such thing as fat and pretty. So all of this must be addressed by a national health care plan. And, you know, so sometimes a fat girl will try and to smile a lot and pretend they're happy. But you know and I know that a fat girl is dead inside. And
no, I do not know that, Ms. Dooley, and I don't know.
All right, well, then you come with me someday, Phil, to any psychiatrist's office and look at the line of fat women going around the block.
Yeah.
And, of course, I'm exaggerating.
Well, when we're talking about something like this, we don't want to exaggerate. I think we want to be as spot on as we can with our information. Let's go to a phone call. Erica, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley. Go ahead, please.
Okay, first of all, I really don't see the logic behind this reasoning of wanting taxpayers to pay for plastic surgery, because I have a scar above my eye. I got slamming my face into the windshield. My opinion is, if you don't want to look at it, then don't. I'm happy with myself. I'll never have it fixed. It's God's imperfection. And personally,
can I ask you a question?
Pay for somebody's surgery.
Did a boyfriend slam your head into the windshield, ma'am, or was that...
No, hon. I had a car accident, and I slammed my face into the windshield.
Well, what difference would it make?
Well, if it was a drunken night one night, and her boyfriend grabbed her by the back of the head, which is going to happen.
Hold up, lady. I was not drunk, and my boyfriend did not do that. I had a car wreck.
You know, a lot of guys will grab their girlfriends playfully, and next thing you know, they slam their face into the windshield.
No, I don't know that. I don't think this lady does either.
Well, can we ask the lady?
Okay, hold up, y'all. That is not my case.
What happened to you?
I'm just saying my scar is there for a reason. I'm not going to change it. It's God's imperfection. And it's plumb nuts to think that I should have taxpayers' money pay for my mistake. It's all personal responsibility.
Yeah.
I agree with her.
Well, but still, there is the question of abuse. If you keep the scar on your face and you force people to look at that.
No, I don't force
do
nobody
you really
to look
want to
at
put
my
them
face. If they don't want to look at
well,
me, turn your head. I don't care. I'm happy
what
with
do you
myself.
Do, what do you do for a living, ma'am, if I don't mind you asking me? What do you do for a living?
Oh, I work in the medical field.
So you're around patients who are going to have to look at you.
Well, all right.
You
what
know,
is the point of this?
I don't mm-hmm. care if they mm-hmm. look at me or not. The point of my conversation is it's just mm-hmm. plumb nuts to mm-hmm. think taxpayers mm-hmm. should have to pay for mm-hmm. somebody's surgery. Mm-hmm. Elective
well,
surgery. Let me say
elective surgery,
elective.
Yeah.
What if a girl who has the same scar that you have does not get that surgery paid for and she winds up hanging herself in a bathroom?
That image is just so over the top and not necessary. A girl hanging herself in a bathroom because she's got a scar.
I don't know what the scar looks like on Erica's face. She may think it's fine. The rest of us, it may look like Frankenstein. I don't know.
I'm sure she's described it accurately. A small scar, a lot of people have them. But if she doesn't want to have that surgery...
Well, then she doesn't have to have it.
Right, but I'm.
But
saying,
there may be a girl out there. There may be a girl out there whose boyfriend slammed her face into the windshield and cut her nose, and she wants it paid for.
Cut her nose?
Or whatever
well,
happened to this woman?
You know what,
right.
ma'am?
Mm-hmm.
Get out
mm-hmm.
and get a job.
Mm-hmm.
Get out and get a job. I am so sick mm-hmm. of the pity party. Get out and get a job.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but then that sounds like you sound like a Republican, and like
you know. I'm fed up with the government,
mm-hmm.
period.
Good point. Erica, I thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Thank you very much, ma'am. What did that mean? You sound like a Republican.
Well, I'm fed up with everything.
Well, there, you know, when she says I'm fed up with the government, well, I just shut down. Steve and I shut down.
Yeah, we shut down.
Because what that means is, oh, you want poor people to walk around looking like they do. I don't think that's right.
877-876-PHIL is our number. 877-876-PHIL with Bobby and Steve Dooley here. National health care, should it pay for plastic surgery that ordinarily has been elective? Here's Barbara. Barbara, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with the Dooleys. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm calling from Nashville, and I'm a mother of 8 daughters
mm-hmm.
and 3 sons. And
oh,
I'm just disturbed that you would, you know, I've got girls that have curly hair that want straight,
yeah.
girls that want straight hair, one's curly, one has a large
mm-hmm.
nose and a small nose. These
mm-hmm.
things people go through, I don't,
mm-hmm.
it's ridiculous. And for you to describe a woman that's
mm-hmm.
behind an apron there because she's ugly is insulting to me. I'm a server. I have served my
mm-hmm.
family. I
mm-hmm.
serve people in restaurants. And it has
mm-hmm.
nothing to do with what I look or don't look like. You're talking about a lot of emotional things that...
Exactly
yes,
what I'm talking about.
I'm not going to... I don't, as a taxpayer and a mother, want
mm-hmm.
to pay
mm-hmm.
because a young woman thinks she doesn't have a date with this young man because her nose is wrong. Baloney! Her nose was fine. This is what she was born with. Now, a clipped lip,
Why should we pay for that and not a girl who's fat?
It's a deformity that's not normal. And nose
you don't
you're
call,
born with is normal.
And you don't call a Jew nose abnormal?
Well, I don't like the term Jew nose. Please don't say that.
Well,
it's a nationality. You have a Negro
mm-hmm.
nose. Mm-hmm. You have a Caucasian, a Caucasian nose.
Right. What if you were born with a Negro nose? What if you, a white woman, were born with a Negro
so
nose?
So what? I'm biracial. I have a nose that looks like I might have had a black
hair.
Oh, okay. So what?
Well, you didn't tell me that. That's not fair.
It doesn't make any difference.
Barbara, I understand, but you're missing. You're missing a point that I'm making. You say you're happy as a server. Wouldn't you also like to be the hostess, seating people?
I have been a hostess. I have been a receptionist.
Yes.
But my most
and they've
treasure,
decided.
My most,
and they
my
just,
most treasure
yes.
thing is being me and
mm-hmm.
being a mother and people loving me for who I am, not
you
being
were a hostess,
the world things I need to be.
But you were a hostess
you're
and they decided we better put her behind a soup pan.
No, you're telling,
didn't
you're telling
we?
Me that everyone should be.
Yeah, they killed it. It said you got to be behind a soup pan.
What, would you let this woman finish, please?
You're trying to tell me that if I don't have this perfect
mm-hmm.
plastered nose, face, eyes, body, whatever, then I need to have the government paid to have it fixed. It's your idea of what's perfect. It's your idea of what this young girl should look like. You should be trying to make the young girl comfortable with who she is instead of changing it to make her feel better.
All right, let me ask you a question then. If it is not abnormal to have the big, whatever you want to call it, let's call it the Roman nose, then why do people say when they see someone go by with a nose like that, I know the air is free, but that's ridiculous? Why did he say that?
Yeah, that's a good point, buddy.
Because they're ignorant people.
Oh, come on. That's a joke that people make. When, you know, when I was a kid, I had big ears, and they used to say to me, don't run too fast. You might take off.
That's horribly destructive. Horribly destructive to a young boy. Wasn't it, Mr. Hendry?
Young children are mean. Yeah. Girls can be mean to girls. You grow up and you learn things and you get stronger.
Why would you want to lie to a girl about her Jew nose or Negro hair? Why lie to them and tell them it's okay to be ugly?
I don't want you to use the term anymore.
Why does it have to be ugly? It's just
who
they...
Oh, my God! Well, I don't know what else to say, but...
All right. You have children that are beautiful, Barbara, and they're going to remain beautiful.
Well, she hasn't answered the question. They had her behind a soup pan because they put her out as a hostess. They said, ain't going to work, and put you behind the soup pan, didn't they?
Yeah.
Say that again. Repeat.
I don't think she needs to say it.
I'm happy to. I said, you were a hostess, and then they said, stick her back behind the soup pan.
Oh, my
That's
goodness.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. And we need to face this.
You apparently need to face this.
Thank you for your call, Barbara. Great call. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
No, that wasn't a great call. I don't know. How do you quantify that?
Yeah, how do you quantify it?
It was a great call. That's how I quantify it. I decide that it was a great call. Let's go on to Beth on the... where is Beth here? She is... over on line 10. Beth, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley. We're talking about health care and what it will cover and what it won't cover. And my two guests tonight think that so-called elective plastic surgery should be covered. Go ahead, Beth.
Hey, Phil, how's it going?
That was a mouthful.
Very good, thank you.
Okay, well, my whole thing, first of all, I just don't agree with the health care plan. Just let me just put out that out there right now. I just think it's just not right. But second of all, if you're going to have a health care plan, it should definitely just include people who have, like, you know, they can't afford their health plan or they have, like, major medical issues. It definitely should not include anything elective. Like, you know, okay, if you're fat, you can diet. I mean, there's things you can do to combat that kind of thing. You can exercise. You can eat right.
Not always. A lot of people get stomach stapling. A lot of people have to have the band put in. It's not as easy as that, you know.
And it's a lifestyle change, and maybe that's hard for
Then why do people have their stomach stapled?
Well, then they should do that on their own time. It should not be a taxpayer dollar type of thing.
Well, I
why should I have to pay for
a person
getting their face stapled?
What if they're poor? What if they're poor?
Well,
now they go through life poor and fat.
Get an education.
They go through life poor
and get a job and pay for it.
Well, you say they're poor. But they're poor, but they're fat.
Yes, and they may be fat because of a thyroid condition. Gotcha.
Doesn't matter. If you have a problem, then you go out there and you work for the...
The idea here, Bobby, this is a basic philosophy, Bobby, that some people just don't think health care should be paid for at all.
Even if someone has a hair lip. All right, even if someone has a hair lip?
No, the hair lip is a thing that with babies, and there's foundation.
Should health care... Should
but Jessica Simpson has a foundation for kids with hair lips to help them get their lips for free.
So we're supposed to go begging to Jessica Simpson?
It's a foundation.
So.
If a family has a baby with a hair lip, they can...
So I got to go to Jessica Simpson's house to get my cleft lip repair, and I think you're going to have a lot of people throwing a flag on that.
No, it's a foundation.
Really
like, I'm saying,
it's a foundation. You're not going to just...
You're saying that Jessica Simpson has a foundation.
There's a charity organization out there that's available.
Well, you know, at least I'm not drinking my dinner.
Excuse me?
Oh, great. Okay.
What?
She said she...
I said at least I'm not drinking my dinner.
What does that mean, drinking your dinner?
I don't want to yell at them, drinking your dinner.
What?
At least I'm not drinking my dinner.
I heard what that. I heard what you said, but what does that mean, actually? Was drinking... Yeah, you think I'm, like, anorexic or something? Like, what are you trying to say?
Drinking your dinner.
Drinking what? Dinner? No,
will
I don't.
You just talk up loud, please? Thank you. Anyway, good call. 877. Thank you very much, Beth. Appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. We're going to be coming back here with a final round with the Dooleys.
She doesn't understand what drinking your dinner means, huh?
Why should she have to answer that question, okay? The fact of the matter remains.
Well, she was making fun of me.
My wife's going, because she wants people to know that she's listening.
I want people to know I'm listening.
I think it can be assumed that you're listening. Is it not normally assumed that you're listening? So when you are listening, you got to go, 877-876-PHIL, world famous. What are you looking at, bud?
Why do you do a hip thrust when you do that?
I didn't do a hip thrust when I... 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right. We'll be back.
Talk much?
What a retard.
Phil Henry. Phil Henry.
Phil. Just a few more seconds here with Bobby and Steve Dooley as we talk to them about the health care bill. And whether or not it will include formerly elective surgery. I can hear a television, Bobby.
Phil, we're looking at AC360. He has online secrets. They're talking about Oprah Winfrey.
All right, let's talk about Oprah Winfrey, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Oprah Winfrey is a woman that nobody is going to call slender. And yet, look at the money and look at the great success that woman's had.
Yes. But she's made the good faith effort.
That's what you miss, Phil, and that's what a lot of people miss. She showed the world she was willing not to, roam the earth.
You know?
What do you mean, roam the earth?
So we are consigning our young girls by saying, oh, you know what, you're fat, but you're pretty, to a life of roaming the earth. I don't know, what did you put it very well, Steve.
Like large mammals,
And what?
Well, the more you talk about these young girls and saying they're roaming the earth like large mammals, the more you do insult them. Cindy in Texas. Cindy, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Good morning. Thank you, ma'am.
I would like to preface my comment by saying that I have been blind all my life. And so I think we're much too focused on looks. Can she say anything
about mm-hmm? I'm sorry. I'm terribly sorry. I was curious. When you say you're blind and yet you say we're focused.
Yeah, I noticed
exactly.
That too.
How do you focus on anything when you're blind?
That is a general term, ma'am. You don't have to
see
physically to focus.
Yes, we're talking about focusing in terms of... Yeah, mental focus.
And I think that my answer is
that.
No to the comment of the government paying, because in my city, and I'm sure in many others, for emergency situations and burned children and scarred people that it's really affecting, like we've been talking about, there are charities, there are organizations, there are hospitals who take care of these people. Yeah.
But they don't bother you, do they? Because you can't see them.
That's
so
right. They shouldn't
really
bother
not,
you either. You should be thinking about what's on the inside of that person.
Well, they do bother me because I can see them.
Well,
but
you're seeing the wrong thing.
Yeah. Have you thought about seeing a doctor to fix the blindness?
No, sir, because retinas can't be transplanted, and I don't have retinas.
There's Ray Milland's film.
No, I was born prematurely, and the oxygen in the incubator left me blind.
Have they done any eyeball transplant experimentation?
I have prosthesis. I just told you that.
Phil Henry. Visit us online at talkradionetwork.com.